evening, everyone. This is Terry Coop, host of the Blue Plate Special. And tonight on the menu, we have Jason Pintner of Polis Books and author of the new book that we'll be talking about tonight, which is a riveting, twisty, ripped-from-the-headlines thriller. As Tess Garrison said, an author who dares to take the traditional thriller in bold new directions. Jason Pintner is already the best-selling author of 5 novels in his Henry Parker thriller series, as well as a middle-grade adventure novel, Zeke Bartholomew's Super Spy. He's been nominated for just about every award you can possibly think of, and he is also the founder and publisher of Polis Books, named by Publishers Weekly as one of the Star Watch honorees, who is recognizing young publishing professionals who've distinguished themselves as future leaders of the industry, and also new dad. We're going to be hearing about Ava as well. Good evening, Jason, and welcome to the Blue Plate Special.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love hearing my daughter's name mentioned in the opening credits.
Absolutely. She's the unspoken star of the show.
Oh, absolutely. I'll play this for her when she's old enough.
And she is 1 month old?
She's 1 month old yesterday, so 1 month and 1 day.
Wow, how did that happen?
You got me.
Yesterday.
We feel like the pregnancy itself is sort of like every day felt like it was eons and eons waiting for her to arrive, and now that she's here, it feels like every day is just speeding by. We can't believe that she's 1 month and a little over 11 pounds.
That is fantastic. How's Dana feeling?
She's good, doing very well. She had a healthy pregnancy, thankfully, a few little complications afterward, but she's doing a lot better, and she's already the best mom there is.
Well, tell her that we're all pulling for you guys.
Thank you. We're aiming to raise a very big reader.
Even better. But now, tell me about this new book.
Yeah, well, the book
tell
is called
The Castle.
It actually came out 1 day before Ava did. It's a thriller that was sort of inspired by the recent presidential election. And I really had the idea that, obviously the election itself was so crazy and insane and sort of seemingly defied everything we knew about politics. And I thought it could make a really interesting framework for a thriller that stemmed from the question of what would it be like to be an ordinary person working inside the most controversial election and the most controversial campaign ever. And that's kind of where it stemmed from. My character, Remy Stanton, is an ordinary guy. He's an ambitious young guy, sort of, hoping for bigger things, and ends up in the, right place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time, depending on how you look at it, and ends up foiling a robbery, ends up getting shot and nearly killed. And when he wakes up, he finds out that he actually saved the life of a woman named Elena Griggs, who's the daughter and sole heiress of Rawson Griggs, a powerful billionaire businessman who's about to run for president. And Remy becomes an overnight celebrity, and Rawson sees that Remy's got a lot of cachet now and a lot of people like him, so he offers Remy a spot in his campaign to help out, and Remy happily accepts, and everything kind of goes from there. It's not what he expected. There are a lot of twists and turns, and he finds some very sort of shady things going on and kind of has to make a lot of judgment calls and things that could jeopardize people he really cares about. And it was a lot of fun to write, and it's very strange to see things going on in the news right now that I wrote about as fiction.
I was going to say, a presidential campaign with a lot of dark twists and turns. What,
crazy,
are you writing,
right? It could never happen.
A lot of us have always said, it's like if we had turned any of these stories into our editors, we'd have been shown the door.
Oh, absolutely. That was sort of one of the trickier things is, a lot of people say, fiction, truth is stranger than fiction. In this case, it really was. So obviously I had to make the story interesting and engaging and twisty enough so that people who were familiar enough with the election and all the crazy things that went on, it wouldn't just be a rehash of that, that there really was a completely different plot. And even though there's some characters you might recognize from real life, they're very different. They have interesting characteristics of their own, and there are enough twists that have not happened and hopefully will never happen to make it intriguing, even if you feel like you're a little burned down on politics.
No, I can tell you, it is a fast read. I mean, not in a simple read, but a
right.
thrilling read from the first.
No,
page.
That, I mean, listen. I think what anybody wants is a book that people can't put down. That I think entertains them and hopefully makes them think a little bit. And hopefully I did that.
And you, to me, you took a little bit of a risk at the very, very beginning of the book. Remy, to paraphrase Stephen King, Remy ain't no nice guy.
Yeah, you know, he's, I would say he's not a bad guy. He just sort of, you know, I didn't want him to be a White Knight character. I didn't want him to be too perfect, a Mr. Goody Two Shoes. I felt that was unrealistic because I don't think people like that necessarily fully exist. I think everyone has sides to them. But I also wanted a guy who, you know, sort of, you know, to paraphrase Star Wars, maybe does get seduced by the dark side. He is ambitious. He feels like his current career sort of stalled a little bit. And when he gets the opportunity to join a presidential campaign, he sees that money and power and fame come along with it. And he loves it. He loves the attention. He loves the money. He loves the, you know, he loves the women. And it's sort of everything he ever dreamed of. And that's sort of why when he starts to realize that maybe things aren't quite what they seem, it is a little bit of a crisis for him, because he realizes that he may have sold his soul a little bit, and he has to kind of question what he's become.
And that's interesting. Kind of that reluctant hero. He has to turn, you know, and reach deep inside to find his own inner hero. Because I started reading it, and it's like I said, Remy wasn't exactly a nice guy, but
right,
it turned out to be a very engaging character.
Yeah,
and
I did want him to be a little deeper too. Yeah.
You know, great scenes like the pub and that type of thing, and then the actual shooting. Without going too far into it to get into any spoilers, that's quite the incident to start that out with. It's like, the main character gets shot and almost killed.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's sort of, you know, I couldn't really have him die on page 5. but at the same time, like I really wanted to show that, you know, like I said, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's a good guy that sort of is willing to maybe do what it takes to get ahead. But at the same time, when he's put in a situation where he sees other people's lives in danger, he doesn't even think to act. He just acts. And he saves a couple people's lives and ends up nearly dying. Now, maybe if you told him ahead of time that he was going to take a bullet, he would rethink his actions. But at the same time, this is a guy who sprang into action the moment he had to.
Exactly. And then you at the beginning, you said something about Ava coming out a day before or a day after the book.
Oh, yeah. So this is a sort of a funny story, is that the publication date of the book was June 26th, which is actually the 10-year anniversary of the day my very first book came out. So it's very karmatic. And Ava's due date, my daughter, was June 25th. Now, where it sort of ran into problems is that I very much wanted my daughter's name to be in the book, in the acknowledgments, and then I wanted it to be dedicated to her and my wife. Now, of course, nobody knew her name. You know, I slipped in front of my in-laws. Rather than that, like, her name was a secret. My parents didn't know. My sister didn't know. My closest friends didn't know. So it sort of became a bit of a countdown to see which would come out first, Ava or the book. And I knew that if the book was released before Ava was born, a lot of people would be reading the book and know the name of my daughter potentially before my parents did. And that, of course, ended up happening, where the book came out on June 26th, and Ava came out 2 days late on June 27th, and I got some interesting emails and phone calls from people saying, who's this Ava the book is dedicated to? And, of course, I had to just sort of grit my teeth and ask them to be patient. But that'll be a very funny story to tell her when she's old enough to understand it.
Now, after 10 years, haven't you learned that you don't complicate publishing any more than you have to?
Oh, my God. That's, you know, that's famous last words. Every time you say you're going to make things easier, it doesn't get easier.
Well, before we go on, I want to announce the call-in number. It's area code 347-633-9609. If you want to chat with Jason about his book or Polis Publishing or congratulate him on the birth of his daughter or anything else, give us a call. And you said it's 10 years after your first book came out. Which was your first book?
The Mark. That was The Mark. That was the first novel in my Henry Parker series, which came out in 2007.
And who is Henry Parker? Tell us, because people
Henry
might
Parker
not
was
be
the
familiar
the
with your older work.
I'm sorry?
Just for anyone who's not familiar with some of your earlier work, what's the Henry Parker series about?
So Henry Parker was my first series. The Castle is a standalone novel. Is completely separate from anything I've ever written. But before that, I wrote a thriller series featuring a character named Henry Parker. The first book was The Mark, which came out 10 years ago. In 2007. And Henry is a newspaper journalist. He's a newspaper reporter, and he starts at a newspaper in New York City, a pretty prestigious paper, working with one of his idols, a guy named Jack O'Donnell, who's sort of based on Pete Hamill, this sort of legendary newsman. And basically, in the first book, he sort of ends up writing crummy stories. He ends up having to write, he has to kind of cut his teeth a little bit, and he's assigned crummy stories. But he ends up on his very first assignment walking into and seeing a man being beaten to death, and he ends up being framed for the murder of a cop and has to go on the run. And it was sort of like that book to me was sort of inspired by The Fugitive. I really wanted a book that just did not let down from beginning to end. And then I wrote four more books in the series. So it goes The Mark, The Guilty, The Stolen, The Fury, and The Darkness. I also wrote a kind of standalone, like a bridge novella called The Hunters, which goes in between The Fury and The Darkness. And I love those books. And I always get people asking me, when are you going to write more Henry Parker books? And I got to say, the series is not over yet. I love the character. I love the supporting characters. There are actually some similarities between Henry and Remy Stanton from this book. And I've thought about ways to maybe have them team up or work together in some ways. But that was a great series that sort of introduced me to the reading world. And I'm very proud of it and glad that people still read it.
That's fantastic. That was going to be my next question. Have we heard the last of Remy?
I don't know yet. I don't want to give anything away, but I sort of wrote the ending of the book as sort of a bit of a question mark. Maybe, maybe not. I kind of wanted to see, if people liked the book, if they liked Remy, if they liked the characters, and if they wanted to see him come back. I have ideas to potentially bring him back. I don't fully know yet. I'm playing around with a few things, and a sequel to this book is definitely one of them.
Excellent, excellent. I think that would be an excellent idea, because Remy does turn into be this fascinating character, because he has the potential of both, bright and dark side.
Yes, yes.
He definitely.
I thought that made it more interesting, having him a little bit more fleshed out.
Because he definitely has the ability to have, shall we say, situational ethics, but
yes,
he does also
absolutely.
Do the right thing.
Well, I did a lot of research for the book, talking to people who work in politics, and that was sort of one of the things that a lot of people said is that, once people get a kind of a whiff of power, it's intoxicating. And I sort of wanted Remy to be seduced by it a little bit. He's, like I said, I think he has a good heart, so he wouldn't purposefully do anything to harm anybody. But at the same time, when you're allowed to taste fruits you've never tasted before, you can indulge yourself a little bit.
Well, that's great. So, as if you weren't busy enough as a writer and a new dad, you're also the founder and publisher of Polis Books.
Yep.
Why don't you tell everybody who might not be familiar with Polis? Why don't you give a little of the background and the history of the company, and then we'll talk about where you're headed with it.
Absolutely. So Polis Books is an independent publishing company, which I founded in 2013. I'd worked a pretty good and happy career in publishing at various houses, and then I went out on my own to launch a publishing house. And we've been in business just about 4 years now. I think it's actually 4 years this month. And and we publish a variety of fiction, and we're just getting into nonfiction too. We have some absolutely amazing authors on our list, like Rob Hart, whose new book, The Woman from Prague, was named one of Publisher Weekly's best books of the summer, was named Hot Summer Read by the Boston Globe. He's actually been on tour the last couple weeks. I think he just finished up in Texas doing Murder by the Book and Book People, two great independent bookstores. We have Jason Starr. We have Louise Phillips' new book, The Dollhouse. Doll's House comes out in just a little over a week. She's one of Ireland's greatest crime writers. And then in nonfiction, we have the new book by Mick Foley, who a lot of people know. He's a multiple-time number one New York Times best-selling author, WWE Hall of Famer, and we have his hilarious sort of holiday memoir, St. Mick, coming out in October. So we have some absolutely terrific stuff that we've published, that we are publishing. And, you know, I love the writing and publishing industry, and sort of being able to run a house and publish the books that I love and hopefully find a readership for them is everything I could hope for.
And what made you want to do that? What made you want to be a publisher?
Well, you know, I'd worked in various roles at publishing houses. I'd worked at three of the big five back when it was six. Now it's five. I worked at three of them. I worked at a terrific sort of large independent press, which was at Grove Atlantic, doing marketing and publicity for their Mysterious Press line and their Atlantic Monthly press line. I'd done marketing and publicity on my own, having written books, and I liked the idea of sort of being in charge of my own destiny. I loved what I did at a lot of other publishing houses, but when you're at a big company, there's sort of, you know, a million different voices and a million different people making decisions, and I kind of wanted to be, you know, pardon my, lack of modesty here, but I wanted to be the be-all, end-all. I wanted to make the decisions. I wanted to be the one who chose covers, who worked on marketing and publicity. I wanted to be the primary contact, and I wanted to publish the stuff that I loved. And that was sort of where it stemmed from. I wanted to be the master of my own destiny in a lot of ways.
That's excellent. What type of books are you looking for? What type of submissions are you looking for?
You know, we do a lot of crime fiction. I think independent or otherwise, we have some of the best crime fiction in the world. Like I mentioned, Rob Hart, Jason Starr, Louise Phillips, Terrence McCauley, Alex Segura, Dave White, really some fantastic people. But then we have a great young adult line. We have a couple of young adult novels from number one New York Times bestseller author Greg Olson, sort of a YA horror series by Leia Ryan. We do, you know, some nonfiction like Mick Foley. We do a little bit of romance. We do some science fiction. So we do sort of a lot of like popular
really?
Fiction and nonfiction. Yeah. So we, you know, we do a lot of kind of popular commercial fiction, nonfiction. We're always looking to kind of expand what we do, look for more commercial literary fiction, more upmarket fiction, and really just sort of anything that catches my fancy.
Well, and I know, too, I'm friends with several of your writers, and I know that some of them have been previously published by big houses,
mm-hmm.
and they're very happy with you. They're very happy at Polis Books. I've heard nothing but compliments.
Yeah, that makes me very happy. Yeah, I mean, sort of, you know, I like you said, we have some authors that have been in the kind of big publishing, you know, houses and to various degrees of success. And I think, you know, the thing with me is that, you know, we can't necessarily compete with a random house on certain aspects of a publication. They're obviously a multi-billion-dollar company, whereas we're a fairly new independent press. But I wanted every author to feel like they got personal attention, like they had a say in everything. So we don't publish a book unless the author, you know, likes their cover, likes the editorial work, knows what we're doing in terms of marketing, in terms of promotion. And they don't always get that sort of firsthand knowledge of what's going on at a big house. You know, for example, when we're designing a cover, the author is involved in every step of the way. They see the early concepts. They get a chance to weigh in on them. A lot of times at big houses, the author will just see a cover, and that's it. They don't really have a chance to weigh in. So I wanted every author to feel like they're sort of our partners in this, and it really is a partnership.
And it seems to be working. Again, you mentioned Rob Hart, who just
mm-hmm.
seems to be on fire right now.
Yes, absolutely.
Although
yeah,
I keep telling you all when you're... No, go ahead.
No, you're saying you keep telling...
His book.
Yeah.
Oh, I keep telling
he's
you all when
he's
you're
fantastic.
Sending your writers out on tour. You're sending your writers out on tour. You keep spelling Kansas City wrong. You need to send people to Kansas City so I can come see them.
Oh, we'd love to. I'll tell you what, we have some great stuff coming up, so we absolutely will.
And no, that because I always look at everybody's book tours, and it's like, where's Kansas City on the list? Come on now.
Yeah.
I'll even tell you which bookstore.
We'll make sure to fix that.
No, this is definitely a real pleasure to get a chance to talk to you about. So kind of what's next for you and Polis and everything, because I think it's kind of hard to separate the two.
Yeah, you know, I try to separate as much as possible. It can definitely be tricky sometimes. For example, when I go to conferences, I sometimes have to wear, especially now, I have to wear two hats. You know, The Castle is my first book in a while. So for a long time, I was able to kind of function as solely the publisher of Polis Books. But now that I have a new book out and I'm promoting that, and I have a few other things that I'm working on, I sort of have to go back to the way it was when the Henry Parker series came out, which is that I would function as both a sort of employee of whatever house I worked for and the author of my books. So I do try to keep them separate because I don't want my authors to feel like they're getting the short shrift. I want them to know that when I'm working on their books, they get 100% of the attention. But, you know, with Polis, we have some amazing things coming up. We have some great books coming out this fall. Dark Chapter by Winnie M. Lee, I think is going to be up for a whole bunch of awards next year. It's a debut novel. It's riveting. It's wrenching. It's based on the author's own experiences, based on this horrible crime that was committed. That comes out in September. The early reviews are absolutely phenomenal. So I get to work on books like that. And as far as my own works, you know, The Castle just came out. And then I have a few other things that are sort of percolating right now that I will announce when they're a little further along. But safe to say, you know, if I can spend the rest of my life as a publisher and a writer, I think I'd be pretty happy.
And definitely. And another question about Polis Book. Do you accept submissions that aren't agented?
We do accept unagented submissions. Obviously, it's sort of tricky because we get a tremendous amount of them. Just because we're still, you know, a fairly new and fairly small company, we can't respond to every one of them. So, you know, in any given day, we might get 50 submissions. And if I read every one of them and responded to every one of them, I'd never get any work done. So, you know, what I tell everybody is, you know, I only respond to unsolicited submissions if I'm interested in it. And that means I get a lot of angry emails from people asking why I haven't responded to their submission. Just the truth is there's not enough time in the day because I got to focus on the authors that we're publishing. And if something comes in unsolicited, that's fantastic. I'll look into it. You know, we have a great author named Casey Doran who I bought his series unsolicited. It came in through the submissions folder. His first book, Jericho's Razor, is out now. He has a sequel to with The Art of Murder coming out later this year, and he's absolutely fantastically talented. And I remember reading the first page of his query letter and his submission, thinking like, I hope the quality stays the same, and it did. So, if something is great, hopefully I'll find it. But you know, it's tough because there's just so much coming in.
So you're starting to see that victim of your own success type thing with beginning, you know, deluged with submissions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, I'm very well aware that there are a lot of talented writers out there just looking for a break, and there's probably a lot of great stuff in my submissions folder that would be a great book to publish, and it's sort of that's the tricky thing to maintain is running a publishing house while also having the time to read what comes in, and you don't always get to.
Oh, but that's, you know, there are definitely, like you said, there are definitely worse jobs than that.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, a big portion of my job is reading, so it's not that bad.
Well, that's why you have to wait and you have to train Ava, so when she's old enough, she can help you out.
Oh, absolutely. She's going to be an intern as soon as she's old enough.
Yay, to talk about going to work for the family company.
Exactly, yeah.
So what conferences might we expect to see you at, say,
I'll be at BoucherCon in October. I try to go to BoucherCon every year. Obviously, this year will be my first trip away from my baby, but she'll be, you know, about 4 months old at that point, so I think she'll be all right. But that'll be the next big conference I go to, and that's in Toronto in October. other than that, you know, for Polis, I like to go to the ALA conventions. I'm at BEA every year. I go to Thriller Fest when I can. Then I'll try to make some of the more regional conferences like Left Coast Crime and things like that. Whenever I have time, obviously with a new baby, I'll have to pick and choose.
I can't make BCon this year in Toronto, but I'll be in Florida. I'll be in Florida the following years with bells on. All you have to do is follow the bells, and you'll find me, because we'll actually probably be broadcasting from there.
Oh, terrific! Terrific.
One of our other shows, Skid Row Chatter with Tom Pitts. He always does a broadcast from BoucherCon, and I'll probably do one as well. I'm really looking forward to it, because all I need is a laptop and a hotspot, and I'm on the air.
Yeah. So it's amazing how far we've progressed.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I talk to people and they say, "Well, where were you in Raleigh?" And I'm like, "I was there." But for someone who's never been to BoucherCon, it's hard to explain what an overwhelming experience it is.
It is. It is. I take it for granted sometimes.
And I have a feeling we'll be seeing some Polis books on that nomination list next year.
Well, you know, we at BoucherCon this year, we have Shot in Detroit by Patricia Abbott is up for the Anthony Award for Best Paperback Original.
Oh, she did?
So,
okay.
I'm crossing my fingers for that one. And then, you know, we have some amazing stuff that came out this year that I really think might get some awards consideration for next year. I'm really hoping so.
Well, congratulations on that nomination, and that is a prestigious one as well.
It was the second one. It was nominated for the Edgar Award earlier this year, and now it's nominated for the Anthony Award. So this, you know, Shot in Detroit's an absolutely fantastic novel, and I'm very fortunate to publish Patricia Abbott.
I have a feeling you're clearing out some space on a shelf, right? For the
if she wins, she gets any hardware that comes with it. So I'll take the kudos. She'll take the award home.
Yeah, you get the picture of her standing with it. That is tremendous.
Exactly.
Good luck. I mean, good luck on that. And like I said, another thing I always ask people, because I took kind of a poll on a blog and said, you know, what do you want to hear about from writers? And one of the things that they said was your writing process. Are you a plotter? Are you a pantser? Do you write every day? Do you have word counts? That type of thing.
I would say half pantser, half plotter. I generally, when I start a book, I certainly have three bullet points that I work off of. Number one is I usually know how the book's going to start. I have an opening scene in mind. So for the castle, I knew how the first chapter was going to go. I knew the opening scenes. I knew the sort of big scenario that was going to kick the story into gear, which is Remy, you know, getting involved in this robbery. I knew that was how the book was going to start. I usually have a plot point, maybe around midway through the book, give or take, where there's sort of like going to be a big twist or a big change that's going to sort of send the book off in a completely different direction. And then I generally know how I want the book to end. That can change sometimes based on different factors, but I generally know what my final destination is going to be. Then how I get there in between those three plot points is sort of up anyone's guess. You know, it's like driving from New York to California. You know, you start in Manhattan, you end up in L.A., and you stop for gas somewhere in Oklahoma. But then how you get from point to point to point is totally up to you.
That's great. So so do you write every day?
I don't get to write every day now just because the company takes precedence. When I was writing The Castle, I was trying to write every day. So even if it was just 250 words or so, I really did try to write every day. Now I try to write, especially between the company and a new baby at home, they sort of take priority. I think once we had the baby on more of a schedule, I'll try to kind of pop in for a couple hundred words here or there. So I would say, you know, I don't have the luxury of writing every day just yet. I say when I'm deep into a book, I try to do that. But as of right now, I just, with the new baby at home, I don't have time.
Well, you still have managed some pretty amazing output, because the castle is not a trivial work by any means.
No,
and
no,
then
it's,
what are you reading?
I'm reading. I'm switching back and forth between two books. I'm reading *The Force* by Don Winslow, which is absolutely brilliant. Don Winslow has been one of my favorite authors for years, and it's sort of I love his not just his books, but sort of his career story because he's always been, in my opinion, one of the best. Not just crime writers, but writers out there, and it's just I think over the past 5 years or so, when it seems like the reading public at large is discovering him, and it's sort of their treat because when I read Savages and I read The Power of the Dog, I mean these are works that stand up against anything in literature, and now that he's a big best-selling author, it's so wonderful to see. So I'm reading that, and then I'm also reading Afterlife, which is the new book by Marcus Seki. I've known Marcus since my first book came out. We were actually in like a writer's group called Killer Year, which is a group of writers who all became friends, whose debut novels all released in 2007, and he's written this very cool sort of science fiction thriller about a Chicago cop who is chasing a sniper and ends up being killed. And then it's sort of what happens after that. He ends up in this sort of strange afterlife and having to kind of navigate that world a little bit. I'm only about maybe 100 pages into it, but the plotting, the story, the setting, they're just so, so unique. And I love how Marcus can sort of wrap up a thriller into this very unique, like kind of science fiction plot. So I'm sort of going back and forth between those.
Marcus is absolutely amazing.
Yes.
Who else were some of the writers in this Killer Year group?
Oh, J.T. Ellison, who has written some fantastic stuff. She has a great series and has some very cool standalones. Dave White, who is actually now an author that I publish. Bill Cameron, who's done some books with Poison Pen Press. Sean Chirkover, who's written some great stuff. The Trinity Game, I think he's with Thomas Mercer.
Yes.
So some really pretty talented writers in there.
You're in some pretty rare air there. I definitely enjoy Sean's Trinity trilogy.
Yes.
That's been a real pleasure. And I got a chance to meet Sean at Murder and Mayhem in Milwaukee.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago. And he's just an incredibly nice guy on top of it.
Yeah,
so
it's amazing.
Was,
you know, the sort
like
of like the more disturbing things people write about, the nicer they are in person.
Well, there's no conspiracy like a biblical conspiracy. I mean, the conspiracy that underlines the Trinity trilogy is just fantastic. I definitely plan on inviting Sean to come on the air because I'd love to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
But so in general, so you're just in general one busy guy.
Yeah. People ask me when I sleep, and the truth is not as often as I would like.
And pretty much you can, The Castle is available through Amazon and the other major booksellers, correct?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powell's, Books A Million, IndieBound, you can get an ebook and print edition. Go to a bookstore and you'll be able to get it.
Is it hardcover or softcover in the print edition?
It's softcover right now, but we do have a hardcover edition that should be coming out within the next couple weeks.
Okay. Excellent. I get so many books in. I was trying to picture which one. I have the ebook of yours. Your cover art is wonderful.
It's great. Yeah,
absolutely wonderful.
We have the same the woman who designed this cover art actually does a lot of the covers for Polis books too. And I knew I wanted her to work on it because she's fantastic.
That is wonderful. Anything else in general you want people to know? Like if anyone is interested in any of your authors, what is it? It's polisbooks.com?
Polisbooks.com, and you can see what we have out right now, what's come out recently, what we have coming up down the pipe. Right now our big book is The Woman from Prague by Rob Hard, which is it's not just me who loves it, but the reviews are absolutely stunning. If you love sort of a great spy thriller, contemporary noir, funny, it's just a terrific, riveting book. That's the big one that we have out right now, and that's out right now in hardcover and ebook. So check out Rob Hart's new book, definitely.
What's coming out? What's like right on the bubble to be published?
We have The Doll's House by Louise Phillips, which is the second book in her Kate Pearson series, which is a great sort of forensic thriller set in Dublin, actually, and she's been called one of the greatest crime writers in Ireland. If you like Tana French or Patricia Cornwell, you'll love the series that comes out August 8th. Then in September, we have two very big books. We have A Conspiracy of Ravens by Terence McCauley, which is the new book in his James Hicks University thriller series, which is this great sort of techno-thriller series about a clandestine intelligence operatives, which is, of course, as timely as you can possibly get right now. Then we also have Dark Chapter by Winnie M. Lee, which is a riveting, riveting sort of psychological thriller that's based on the author's own experiences of going through a traumatic criminal assault. And it's easily one of the best debuts we've published, and I expect it to be up for a lot of awards next year. And this is the kind of book that it just stays with you.
Excellent. Polis has definitely come a long way since
I
started following you when you first came out. And for yourself, you've got The Castle out. Are the Henry Parker books still available?
They're available. I know there are a lot of different ways you can get it in paperback, but it's available in ebook wherever ebooks are sold too. So you can definitely get copies.
And how about Zeke Bartholomew, Super Spy?
That's out too. I love that series. That's sort of like a children's book that I wrote about sort of like a young kid who becomes an accidental spy. I wrote it as sort of very much sort of like almost like. Wimpy Kid meets X-Men a little bit. So that was a lot of fun, and you can get that wherever books are sold, too.
Great. Anything else you'd like to add? Anything you'd like to let everybody out there know about, what's going on with you? What's going on with Polis?
Well, you know, I want to thank a lot of people. It's been a long time since I published my last book. Obviously, I took a lot of time off to launch Polis Books because I wanted that to have my full focus. So I've gotten a lot of emails from readers asking when my next book is coming out. So a lot of people have been very happy to hear that I have a new book out. So I just want to first off thank the readers, thank the booksellers, librarians, anyone who's read and supported me in the past who waited too long for a new book to come out. And I hope this one makes up for it. And I promise it will not be that long before my next one comes out either.
Well, I'm taking a look at your reviews on Amazon right now, and I'd say I agree with you because the book seems to be being very well received.
Yeah,
I'm seeing
I could
comparisons.
Not be happier. I think every author says this, but I really do believe it. I really do think this is my best book, the best book I've ever written. It was the hardest book to write. It took the most research, and I got to say, as much as I love Henry Parker, between Remy Stanton, Rawson Griggs, and Elena Griggs, it might be my favorite cast of characters I've ever written.
That's fantastic. Well, I've got a couple of housekeeping announcements I need to make here. And actually, we've been talking about publishing tonight. If you enjoyed listening to this broadcast, well, support for this broadcast was made possible by Down and Out Books, who are celebrating 6 years of award-winning crime fiction. And you can find out more about it at www.downandoutbooks.com. This is also a copyrighted broadcast, wholly owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. You can find us on Facebook and both the Authors on the Air and the Blue Plate Special to keep up with what's going to be an incredible schedule of broadcasts, including at least one other Polis author this month. I'll be talking to Dusty Rhodes in a couple of weeks about the newest book in his series, and I'm really looking forward to that. I enjoy his series very thoroughly as well. And your cover art that you've put on his work is just beautiful.
He's great. He's a great writer.
Oh, no, go ahead. Tell me.
No, I said J.D. Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, is a fantastic writer. His Jack Keller series is terrific. He wrote a great standalone last year for us called Ice Chest. We're fortunate enough to even try to package his books in a way that just shows how fun and exciting and well-written they are.
Like I said, the cover art is just superb on the Jack Keller books.
Oh, great.
They're among some of my favorite that you've done. Yeah, I look forward to talking to him about writing and lawyering, because that's
yeah.
What we talked about when we were in Milwaukee. So with that, I will wish you a good evening, and thank you very much for coming. And we'll be talking about we'll be talking more about your work and some of your writers as we go along down the road. I hope you'll you'll tune into the future broadcasts and even call in when we've got your writers on the air.
Oh, you got it. I'll have questions for all of them, whether they like it or not.
Excellent. And with that, I will wish you a good evening and thank you for coming on. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.